It's time for What's Cooking on 95BFM.
That's right, it is time for What's Cooking, and in the studio with us we have a local band, Midnight Green, specifically Billy, Kelso and Zahn. Kia ora, guys.
Kia ora.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming in and having a chat with us. I think I first wanted to start off by asking, Midnight Green, where did that name come from?
So originally it was just called Green, and then there was just too many greens, and so we had to make a dedicated group
chat. It's a common colour, yeah.
With the band to come up with some sort of adjective, and we spent, how long was it, guys? Like
at least a month.
A month, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now awesome. We're with Midnight Green.
And how many? How big is Midnight Green? Yeah, there's a few other band members, is there?
Yeah, there's eight of us all together.
Wow, big band. And what kind of instruments do you guys have in there?
So we've got a horn section, so Kelso plays saxophone.
Sure do.
Cool.
We've got Tim who plays trumpet, and then keys, guitar, bass, drums, and vocals, and backing vocals as well.
Wow. And how do you guys all know each other? Just like...
I think it was
school
mostly
or?
Just jams, wasn't it? Like jam nights, open mics.
There used to be an open mic night at Portland Public House, and we kind of all met through there, or a couple of us met through there, and then by default and just through relationships met each other.
Yeah. I got brought into the band at a slightly later
stage. Oh, yes. You're an add-on towards later on.
Now he's core.
Now he's core.
Band.
He's not actually.
I'm so honoured. Yeah, no, I'm in this for life.
Fantastic. Now you guys have selected some songs for us to play, and maybe we'll just go straight into the first one. Amy Winehouse, Just Friends.
Yeah.
Why are you? I'm guessing you guys are fans of Amy Winehouse, or it plays a role in some of the inspirations for the music.
Yeah, I am. She's the love of my life. I have a tattoo of her.
Oh wow! Really? Wow. Big fan.
Yeah. Well, she. When I was a kid, I was like a theater kid, and I realized around kind of like 8, 9, 10 that wasn't really the sound I wanted to make. And I was listening to a lot of Ray Charles and stuff, and and then I remember Amy Winehouse came on the radio, and it was, I think, when Rehab just came out or something, and my mom, the decent Christian woman that she is, she was like, no. Like, I put it on. I was like, oh, my God, who is this man? And she was like, mm-mm. She's like, you will not idolize this one. And I was like, I think I will. And I just, from there, like, that was really what pushed me into
singing. Oh, yes,
so
I can see your Amy Winehouse tattoo on your arm. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's give it a spin. This is Just Friends, Amy Winehouse.
Touch you, but that just hurts.
a great, great song selected by Midnight Green, who's in the studio with us if you're just tuning in. Just Friends, Amy Winehouse, great song. Banger.
Yeah. Absolute banger. Yeah, honestly, like, if you have a heart that beats and, you know, at two ears, it's pretty hard to hate Amy Winehouse, you know. She's
true.
Just
Eternal. Yeah. Eternally great.
Yeah.
I just love that the way she writes her lyrics, like, she doesn't feel she needs to be the hero in the story. Mm. Like, majority of the songs, she's talking about the worst parts of her, you know, characteristics and stuff, and it's just really brutally honest, and
yeah,
I love it.
And now, when you guys write your music, are you, I'm guessing because you're the singer, you're doing a lot of the vocals and things like that, but do you sort of write all the vocals and then come to the band with them, or do you guys sort of write music first and then kind of attach vocals to that?
Lately, when the band first started, it would be me and the original keys player would write a song and then bring it to the full band. But in the last kind of 2 years, I'd say we all just sit down together. Usually Zahn brings a bass line and then we all just like go from there and just write lyrics on the spot and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
It's good to build from the ground up.
Yeah.
Whenever possible, I suppose. Like, starting with the bass line just makes the most sense.
Start with the groove.
Yeah.
All of the songs that are on our upcoming EP were written in the room, you know, like everything that was... Everything that's in the song is written kind of, in the room all together. So the band would put the song together and then Billy would be in the corner writing the lyrics for it. So
yeah,
that, there's like a really good organic feel to the songs for that reason.
Yeah. Mm. And Billy, what kind of topics are you sort of writing the songs about? You know, what's your sort of your favorite songwriting topics?
What would I say?
it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but everything.
Mixed bag. A lot of my relationships to people and to emotions, I guess.
Oh, awesome. And now, Kelso, you know, playing the saxophone, do you, like, have a ripper saxophone solo in some of the songs? And
always.
You know? Well, as a horn player, I think... I like to place myself in sort of more of a orbital capacity. So like I understand that horns should not be front and center all the time, every time, you know?
In moderation.
Yeah, yes, very much in moderation. And I come from more of a jazz background, more of a soloistic background. And what I have learnt being in Green is how to like put as much import in every single note and every single phrase and every
really
single
serve
line.
The songs.
Yeah, you got to serve the song and serve the people you are playing the song with.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love to solo. I feel super grounded with Zahn on bass and the rest of the rhythm section guys, and I always get hyped up by Billy and Ellen Moana. But my role, I think, in the band is to... I'm looking for a better phrase than add vibes, but it's more to to add color to an existing structure rather than, you know, just be absolutely shredding all the goddamn time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, that's great, but also, yeah, it's probably similar to bass, you know, it's sort of subtle in the background, but, you know, it really, that's probably, you know, bass and drums, the core of all the songs.
For sure.
How do you write your bass lines? Are you try to write them as funky as possible or just... you know, as sort of, because simple sometimes can be the best, you know.
Totally. I mean, a lot of them are like just accidents. Like I've never learned how to read music or even theory, really. So a lot of them have just been pulling chords from a six string guitar and putting them somewhere on bass. I mean,
cool.
With Glory, they kind of just started as big church chords on the keys, and then we just threw some funky bass in there. So that was more of a happy accident than anything, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when it comes to writing songs on bass, it's more like treating it like a guitar opposed to a bass, and then kind of moving down into different parts of the song if something that sounds better where the bass was fits there. You know?
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
Now you say happy accidents, it's very Bob Ross. No mistakes, like just happy accidents. All right, well, let's move on to another song, Dojo Cuts, Sometimes It Hurts. Could you tell us a little bit about this track?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so this one is, I mean, although Spotify is not the biggest supporter of, you know, small musicians, it is an ease of access thing. It's kind of just paying homage to how good Discover Weekly can be when you hit the algorithm kind of just right. So I think like maybe like 5 years ago, I stumbled upon Dojo Cuts, and they're an Australian band from that. They kind of started in 2008, and they just, I've always said if I could make music, I'd want to make music like them, and
yeah,
it's like a cool thing to listen to. So
great.
Yeah,
well, let's give it a listen. This is Sometimes It Hurts. Groovy track, this one. Sometimes It Hurts, Dojo Cuts, featuring Roxy Ray, selected by the wonderful Zahn of Midnight Green, who are in the studio with us as I speak. I wanted to ask you guys, Do you have any sort of pre-show rituals that you must do before every show? Otherwise, it's not going to be a good show.
Mine is cry.
That's what? A great ritual.
What is mine? I feel like I try to, because I find gigs very like overstimulating. Mm. And so I will like sit in my car for a little bit with like headphones on and like closed eyes and just like listening to like Sarah Vaughan or something, who's like my comfort music.
Meditate.
Yeah, yeah. Just get in the zone.
That's a really good question, honestly. I'm trying to think. I've got a really boring answer, which is just that it, sort of like Billy, I just kind of retreat to the safety of my car,
right,
and just put the seat back as far as it'll go and just sleep.
So you're all just in your cars.
We're just dissociating.
Pretty much. We show up for sound check, we're super super friendly, and then all of the expressions just drop off our faces. We kind of just like robot walk out of the venue and then find our cars and just kind of like go into low power mode for about an hour.
I have some like no smiles time
because
like a gig you just I feel like I have to smile the entire time, so I
right
have
relax the face muscles
like, no smiles time.
that's some good tips. Do you guys have a sort of a favorite meal? Like, what's the best show, favorite show you've ever done?
Oh man,
would you say?
What was yours?
Oh, it's gotta be the last one we did at PSC. I reckon.
PSC.
Ponsonby Social Club.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, the crowd was so lovely.
It's a nice intimate venue, that one, isn't it? Yeah,
and we managed to kind of pack it out, and like it was just like cool. The best vibes from them, and it was kind of one of the first times I'd really noticed how many people were singing the words with me.
Yeah,
which is
wow.
really like beautiful
singing
feeling.
It back. Yeah. And it's crazy because you know it comes from your brain, and then
it feels like
releases
like someone's reading my diary back to me, which is kind of humiliating but also very special.
It's also really interesting to performing on that stage. It's a wonderful wonderful venue, like you said, very very intimate. But also there's a kind of electrifying danger that like 1 foot wrong and you're either falling off the stage or you are in someone's personal space.
I was going to say, you know, how do you manage to fit? It must be quite a challenge, you know, trying to find a venue.
A lot of my dancing is just in the shoulders because there is no foot room. Hitting them with them shoulders.
Totally. And I can imagine the big bass guitar, it's got such a long neck, you know. You can't really turn.
I'm also not a small man, so I kind of hover in the background.
Yeah, rhythm section hover at the back. Well, I was going to ask you what your most challenging aspect of performing live is, and it's probably just the room.
We've had a bit of a bad run with, a bit of bad luck with, our history of playing gigs, and it's actually been amazing that within like the last 12 months we've played at Ponsonby Social Club a couple times, and it's been amazing. But it's been a long road, so I think that's kind of the challenge, but also extremely rewarding in the sense that now we're playing gigs and we're seeing faces that we hadn't seen in the past, you know, people that are either coming off the street or have found us somehow and coming to our gigs. So
because how many years have you guys been rolling Green/Midnight Green for?
Well, I started the band, I think it's like 5 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. For 2 years, it was just like a duo.
Yeah.
And then, the last 3 years, it's been the full band.
It took us a while to get our first EP up, and now we're on a roll. So I think our wider performance time is probably like 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you guys just released an EP last year, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the debut EP. You got any sort of albums or other EPs in the works out there coming up?
Yeah, we do. So we're working on an EP at the moment that'll probably be released in June.
Cool.
It's exciting. And Glory, the song, will release kind of all the songs as singles in the lead up to the full EP release.
Great. Yeah. Let's move on to another song that you guys have picked. We've got Baba Yaga by Philip Lassiter.
Is this
one that you've chosen, Kelso?
Well, actually,
you all love it.
It was Zahn's discovery, and when Zahn showed it to me, I think I probably started glowing in real life. So it's by a guy called produced, and I think he played on it as well, by a guy called Philip Lassiter.
Yeah.
And he's this crazy LA-based trumpet player and producer. He's won like 11-time Grammy Award winning guy, and he's produced and worked with like Prince and Ariana Grande and like Kirk Franklin and stuff. He's insane. And this song in particular just kicks an absurd amount of ass. My reading of it is that it's kind of a very blatant and aggressive cry for attention towards and ferocity against predatory practices in the music industry.
Cool.
And it's basically like you listen to the horns and the shout section, and you'll hear it's just like got this energy of "we'll fucking get you."
Yeah, yeah.
And I which I just absolutely adore.
Great.
So yeah, let's listen to it.
Yeah, Baba Yaga, Philip Lassiter.
Misbehaving, you can take your secrets to the grave.
Baba Yaga. We've just been quote unquote listening to the filthy horn section.
Oh yeah.
As Kelso was just pointing out. Very, very funky. Very, very Zan, you're saying it was Queen-esque?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great. Great track, that one. All right. Well, we've sort of hit the part, my favorite part, always my favorite part, this part, because it's where we get to play one of your songs, your new one that's out. It's called Glory, Midnight by Midnight Green. Have you guys got any sort of shows coming up or in the near future?
Yeah, we've got one on the 22nd of February.
22nd of February?
Is that next weekend?
15th of February.
Oh, 15th. I'm lying.
Day after is Valentine's one. Day. Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Ponsonby Social Club.
Grab your tickets.
Doors open at 7. Under the radar.
Under the radar. Fantastic. And if people want to check out what you're doing, follow your Instagram and... we were talking about a music video that you guys just filmed that's coming out at some point this year, middle of the year.
Yeah, hopefully in June.
June.
Maybe before then,
Great. Well, we're all going to be looking forward to having a glimpse of that. But yes, Glory. Is there anything you'd like to say about Glory before we give it a spin?
Yeah. What would I like to say? I guess what it's about. We all sat down and wrote this together. And I kind of ended up writing about, I guess, the relationship between like vulnerable women and predatory men. Mm. And it's kind of telling a story of like those vulnerable women trying to find a sense of power in that relationship.
Yeah.
And I was just saying to the boys how, like, looking back at it now, I can see how... It's very kind of, it talks a lot about the performative relationship that I've had with men, especially being a closeted gay for a long time. I think that's what the song's about.
Great. There you go. They're fantastic. That was a great backstory, and we like to hear what it's all about. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in and chatting to us, and all the best for everything coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hawaii's.
Thank you so much.
This is Glory, Midnight Green.
was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.